we love you, don't you?
Yeah.
Does your mama know the Lord? Yeah. Amen. Mama's going to be okay. You know that? The word comes to us today that Chris's mama is near death. And we want to pray for her and lift her up together this morning. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we bring our sister to you this morning, and I know the grief that she feels in her heart in this season of her life. But we thank you, Father, that even still, you are here, and you are with her, and you are here to be her strength and her comfort and her peace. And we pray for these things for Sister Chris, Lord, in Jesus' name today, that she would experience you in the fullness of who you are. Amen. In this difficult time in her life. We pray for her mom.
Yes.
Lord, Chris says, Mom knows you.
Amen.
God, she's coming home.
Yes.
And Lord, though the departure is difficult for us, yet Lord, as you receive her, we rejoice and give you thanks for the salvation that belongs to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And because of that salvation, Father, we thank you that this is not goodbye forever. This is, I'll see you later.
Amen.
We give you praise, Lord, for the day when we will all be reunited again around your throne to spend eternity with you. Now, Lord, in these moments, we just bring Chris to you again.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for the overflow of your Spirit in her life. May she experience you in the full dimension of your love,
Amen.
Your peace and comfort in her heart. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, dear. We love you. For our Bible study this morning, we'll take a look at Scripture from beginning in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll turn over there with me. And just got a lot to share with you this morning. I'll just give you an advance warning. We may be a few minutes over, but I've got a lot to share and not a lot of time, because with Scott coming next week, and then the week after that's the last Sunday in August, and then we've already promised that September is going to be marriage month here at the church, and we're looking forward to that. And I have, you know, there's a word for me to share, and there are a number of you here that are single. I'm going to start, this may sound strange to you, I'm going to start the marriage seminar with a word for single people. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you, and I believe the whole month of September, and we'll probably end up going into a little bit of October as well on the subject. But I believe it'll be an important subject for all of us, both married and single, and when we start the conference there or the meetings there in September, you'll understand why. But for today, I've got a lot to share with you on the subject of the joy-filled life, picking up what we looked at last week and moving on in some other things. And I want to try to get this done today and then the last Sunday in August so that we're ready for the marriage seminar in September. So join me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. The Apostle Peter writes to us and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance or to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, because of the knowledge of eternal salvation, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul." Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at the Scriptures, as always, we give You thanks for them. They teach us about You, God. They teach us about Your Son, Jesus, and how we can have a relationship with You through Him. Help us to see that today, Father. Help us to lay hold of just how we can experience every day the glory of Your presence in our life and all that that will mean to us. Open the eyes of our understanding today, Lord. May we have a true spiritual revelation of these truths that impacts us in such a way that our lives are changed forever. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, all of us go through difficult seasons in life. We share with Chris what she's going through today. We've recently been through that same situation ourselves. We go through struggles and tests and trials and hardships, and things happen. Some of the things that happen are things that come on us because of the wrong choices we've made. A lot of things that we experience in life are things that we have no control over. I think those are probably the hardest ones for us, aren't they? Because we have no control. Because we can't fix it. I know as a guy, when anything breaks, my first instinct is fix it. And sometimes there are things in life that you can't just fix. Sometimes there are things in life that you just have to trust that God alone is going to fix. And you have to let go of those things and let God do what only God can in those situations. But we all go through difficult things in life, and they can often lead to sorrow and despair and depression and all of these things in life. The truth of the matter is, this morning, guys, I want to share with you that God has better than that for you and me. God has better than a life of despair, than a life of depression and sorrow. God has a life. Jesus said it this way. He said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And the abundant life is not just eternal life, not just the length of life, but it's the quality of life. God wants us to live forever, but He also wants us to have a quality to that forever. You understand that? In fact, the real strength of the phrase eternal life, the real strength of that phrase is not the word eternal, it's the word life. Because the truth of the matter is, we're all going to exist eternally. For some, it will be in a state of eternal life. For others, it will be in a state of eternal death. Both are eternal, but one's life and one's death. And God wants us to live in that realm of life, and He wants us to live it in an abundant way, and He wants us to be blessed, even in this lifetime. And we don't always get to choose the circumstances that we go through, but listen, we do always have the chance to choose and the right to choose how we're going to respond to those circumstances. And the way that we choose to respond will make all the difference in the world as to whether or not we experience life or death. You know, sadness and sorrow or peace and joy. The choice really comes down to us as to how we're going to view these things and how we're going to choose the choices that we're going to make and the difficult situations that we face in life. Look, for example, at the passage of Scripture that we read here that Peter gives to us, and we start with this morning. Notice there's a gratitude, there's an excitement in the voice of Peter as he writes these things, as he says these things. And he's thankful for what God has done for him that enables him to go through life with a heart that is overflowing with the joy of the Lord. Blessed, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, and we looked at this word mercy Wednesday night and we found this out. Mercy means this. Mercy, when somebody shows you mercy, it means they are withholding a judgment that's due to you. Okay? And so Peter is recognizing that in reality there is a judgment that he deserves, but God in His mercy is withholding it. And for that, God is to be blessed forevermore. There is a judgment that every one of you, every one of us deserves. But God in His mercy and because of His love for us and through our faith in His Son Jesus Christ, He chooses to withhold that judgment from us, and instead to give us the promise of eternity with Him as our inheritance, to live forever in the presence of God. And He says, as a result of that, our hearts overflow. We rejoice, He says. In this, we greatly rejoice in verse 6. This is what I believe Jesus meant when he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That in the midst of the difficulties, the tests, the trials, the sorrows, the pain, the suffering, all of the things that life brings to us, in the midst of that, when our attention and our focus is on the Lord rather than those things, that we can go through life with joy and peace, knowing that God is working all things together, that all of these things are but for the moment, they will eventually end, and eternity is ours with God forever and ever, and for that we can give the Lord praise. God has given us the promise of eternal life if we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that though our journey may be difficult, in spite of the difficulties, we can still know the joy of the Lord to be our strength. God doesn't promise to any of us a problem-free life, but He does promise to be with us in the midst of every problem and every test and every trial that we go through. It's why God can enable us and wants us to experience, no matter where we are, He wants us to experience hope in life, a positive expectation for the future. He wants us to know a mind-blowing peace. He wants us to know a joy that is beyond words. And the how-to of experiencing these things is what this series of messages is all about in talking about a joy-filled life or joy-filled living. We have to get beyond the idea, and we've talked about this last couple of weeks. I just want to touch on it one more time because it's heavy on my heart. We've got to get beyond the idea of Christianity as a religion, Jesus as a historical figure who lives off in the heavens somewhere. And we've got to come to the reality. We've got to come to accept the reality of the fact that Jesus is alive and well. He lives in the earth today. He lives in your heart. He lives in my heart if we believe in Him. That heaven is real, that eternity awaits us, and the glory of the Lord and something far beyond anything we can ever experience awaits us in God if we'll hold to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the last couple of weeks, we talked about the importance of cultivating a true relationship with Jesus rather than merely practicing the religion of Christianity. And many people are doing that today. Throughout America, around the world, no doubt there are many people in a lot of churches who are going through the motions of religion in the name of Christianity. And you know, when push comes to shove in the lives of people that are practicing religion and they're going through hard times, they cannot find peace. They can't find the comfort of the Lord. They don't know the joy that only His Spirit brings. Because they have followed religion, they have clung to the symbols, and they haven't experienced the substance of a real relationship in Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we go beyond religion and symbols and signs and press on to a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion can't produce real joy. It will deceive you into thinking that it can. And you can go through the religious motions and you think you've done your job and you think you're all right with God and everything is cool. But the moment hard times hit, then all of a sudden you fall apart because all you've had is religion and not relationship. You don't know the substance. You can't experience the joy. We must press on to experience a real relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, John tells us, He who has the Son has life. John doesn't say, he who has religion has life. Jesus didn't say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to start a new religion. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And there's a difference between religion and life through relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The irony is this. I want to share this with you. Listen carefully. Great irony is this, that people who have religion think they have life. But they don't know, they don't have life until they come to experience real life. Then and only then can they look back and say, oh my gosh, what I had wasn't real. Because now that what they've got is real. Let me give you just an example, just to make, just to fill that in for you a little bit. Years ago, I remember the church that I was raised in, and this is not the fault of the church. It's a reality for all of us if we're not careful. That we can live our lives practicing religion and not really pursuing Jesus. In the church that I was raised in, there was a young man, and in my early 20s, as I've shared with you my testimony, I was raised in this church. And listen, if you had asked me as a child, are you a Christian? As a teenager, are you a Christian? I would have said, yeah. Here's what I would have said. I would have said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. See? Because I thought that the ritual of going to church made you be a Christian. But the truth of the matter, it doesn't. Now listen, if you are a real Christian, you're going to want to go to church. But it's not going to church that makes you a Christian. Being a Christian is what makes you want to go to church, you see. You sometimes get the cart before the horse. But anyway, I had come to know the Lord in this church, and one Sunday morning the preacher gave an invitation, and a friend of mine went forward. And he had come to have a real, he'd been raised in a church just like me, but he had come to have a real encounter with Jesus Christ. He had really gotten saved and come to know the Lord. Went forward as the preacher gave the invitation, and as was a custom in our church, when somebody goes forward, when the service is over, people are invited to come forward and greet the new brother, sister in the Lord. So I went forward, and this young man, as soon as I got there, I shook hands with him, and he looked at me, and he said this. He said, Ken, the people in this church need to get saved. Now listen, he wasn't being judgmental, but he now knew something that before he didn't know. Before he had religion. And you know what? He could look around the church, and I could too. We could look around the church, and we could see all these people in the church, and they claim to be Christians, and we look like them, and they look like us, therefore we must be Christians. And it wasn't until we really experienced the Lord that we knew that there was a difference in knowing Jesus and practicing religion. You see, there's a huge difference. A huge difference. And I just want, let me just encourage you further in that direction. See, the mistake was to look at other people in the church and to judge my life according to theirs. And to say, well, they claim to be Christian. They're doing the same kind of things that I do. And listen, I want to tell you, as a teenager, my life was not a Christian life. You know, the sins of the world, the lust of the flesh, the materialistic desires, all of those things, the filthy mouth, just all the things that people do in the world, that's who I was as a teenager. See? But here's the problem. I could look around the church that I was fellowshipping with, and it was full of people just like me. And I just figured, well, they're Christian, and I'm not like them, so I must be a Christian. And it wasn't until an experience with the Lord showed me that there's a difference. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Don't look around the church and say, well, they claim to be Christian, I'm as good as they are, I must be a Christian too. Do this. Look at the world. Look at the junk, the garbage, the filth, the attitude, the selfishness, the materialism. Look at the world. And if your life looks like that, buddy, you got some problems. I don't care how often you go to church. Because Jesus said this. Jesus said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. An encounter with Jesus changes your life. And if your life isn't going through any kind of change whatsoever, you need to take a long, hard look at what it is you're doing and the faith that you're professing and the Christianity you're experiencing. We need the real deal. And brother and sister, let me tell you, Jesus is the real deal. And the real Christianity, really following the Lord, will change your life and change you forever. So, let's say we've had that encounter with the Lord. Let's get on with the message here. Let's say we've had that encounter with the Lord. How do we go about cultivating that practical relationship with the Lord so that we're growing in the Lord and coming to experience Jesus and in that time of need, experiencing in a real way the peace of the Lord, the comfort of God, the joy of the Spirit in our lives? How do we come to those places? And the answer is so simple, we miss it. The answer is so simple, listen, we miss it because we're so religious, we don't recognize it. The way you cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ, brother and sister, is exactly the same way you cultivate a relationship with anybody else. You spend quality time with the person, talking to the person, sharing your life with the person, listening to that person about their life, and having communion together. That's how you cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like you cultivate a relationship with anybody else. Talking with them, listening to Him, having moments of solitude, being quiet in the presence of the Lord. You know what we call all that? You know what, let me say it this way. You know what the Bible calls that? The Bible calls it prayer. The Bible calls all of that stuff worship, thanksgiving, communion, intimacy. The Bible calls all that prayer. Our problem in the church today is that we have reduced the word prayer to mean asking God for stuff. That's prayer. And so when we go to prayer, we ask God for stuff. And when we're finished asking God for stuff, we're done with prayer. No. You've completely missed the whole point of prayer. The point of prayer is not just to ask God for stuff. If you look at the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, what we call the Lord's Prayer, two-thirds of that prayer is worship and praise and thanksgiving. See, it's not just asking God for stuff. And I'll just tell you again, brother and sister, if your prayer life consists only of asking God for stuff, you're not practicing real Christianity. You're probably just practicing religion. See, and there's a reason why we're not experiencing the real communion with the Lord that affects and transforms and changes our lives. Let me give you some verses real quick. Psalm 46, verse 10, familiar verse, and let me expand on it from several different translations. It says this, Psalm 46, verse 10, let go, relax, cease striving, be still, and know that I am God. You just come into the presence of God, you just let everything else go. You just let it go. And you get quiet before God. And you commune with the Lord. And you listen to Him as He speaks to you. James chapter 4 says, draw near to God. God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. We need to learn to draw near to the Lord from our heart. And we need not fear God. Listen, one of the reasons we don't draw near to God from our heart is we're afraid of what God's going to do when we get in His presence. We're afraid that God's out to get us. We're afraid that God's mad at us. We're afraid that God wants to punish us for something. And I want to tell you, brother and sister, God has punished the Lord Jesus Christ for all of your sins. And now He wants you to come into His presence so He can love on you and care for you and bless your life. And we don't need to be afraid of coming into the presence of God because He is a loving Heavenly Father. I'm not saying He's pleased with everything that we do. I'm saying He forgives our sins when we come and He embraces us with all of His heart. Remember the story, we read it recently in Luke chapter 5. There's a beautiful illustration of this. In Luke chapter 5, Peter had been out fishing all night. Hadn't caught a thing. He's sitting in his boat, mending his nets. Jesus comes along preaching. There's a big crowd. He says, Pete, need your boat. Let's step out a little bit so I can preach. He gets in Peter's boat, goes out a little bit, and preaches to the multitude. When it's over, now listen, Here's another lesson. Peter gave Jesus his boat. Jesus filled it up and gave it back to him. Brother and sister, if we will give Jesus Christ our lives, he will fill it up and give it back to us. Jesus says, Peter, go out into the deep waters and let down your nets for a catch. He goes out, puts down the net, fills up his boat and another boat with so much fish, the boats are about to sink. Peter realizes there's something special, something awesome about this Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he says this. He says, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a wicked man. I want you to hear this. He didn't think he deserved to be in the presence of one such as Jesus. He said, depart from me, O Lord. But you remember Jesus' response? Jesus said, no, Peter. Follow me. Follow me. Peter says, there needs to be distance between you and me. Jesus says, no, there needs to be intimacy between you and me because I love you. Brother and sister, we need to recognize how much God loves us and be willing to draw near to the presence of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you and I can praise the Lord with all of our, just praise the Lord from our hearts, we can experience the peace and the comfort and the joy of the Lord. In probably the darkest hour of my life, worship was the only thing that got me through. And I would go to God and I would cry out to God and God would just say, worship me. Just worship me. Just worship me. And it was in that time of just worshiping the Lord that the presence of the Lord would become real to me again. And I would experience in that difficult and trying and painful time the compassion of the Lord, the comfort of the Lord, and the peace of God, that somehow God was going to make everything right. Praise and worship is also a part of drawing near to the presence of the Lord. We need to study the Word of God, meditate the Scriptures to draw near to the Lord. I'm not talking about just reading your Bible. I'm talking about meditating the Word of God and having fellowship with the Holy Spirit over what the Bible has to say. You know, sometimes we make Bible reading a religious thing. We make prayer a religious thing. Oh, we've got to pray so many minutes a day. Oh, we've got to read so many chapters a day. And all of a sudden, prayer and Bible study becomes religion and law instead of a means of communion with God. And we miss what God wants us to find in those disciplines of prayer and Bible study. And when we open our Bible, even if we read just a couple of verses, we need to commune with the Holy Spirit. And we can do it throughout the day and talk with the Holy Spirit about those verses of Scripture and let God teach us what the Bible has to say. We draw near to the Lord through prayer, through communion, through thanksgiving and worship, through Bible study. What we call, listen, corporate worship, coming together like this, worshiping the Lord, getting our minds off of our problems, setting our mind and heart on God, hearing the Word of the Lord preached, helps us to get focused on spiritual things instead of natural things. All of these things, what we often call disciplines. Boy, we hate that word, don't we? We hate to be disciplined by anybody else. We hate to discipline our own selves. We just don't like the word discipline. But let me tell you the value of practicing the Christian disciplines. There's a verse of Scripture. There's a verse of Scripture in Proverbs 26, verse 20, says this. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. Now, to be honest, that portion of Scripture is actually being used in a negative sense. Slander, gossip, all of these kinds of things. For a lack of wood, the fire goes out. If people would just shut up and quit all of that slandering and gossiping and all of the stuff that we do, a lot of things would be a whole lot nicer for a whole lot of people. But let me tell you something. The positive of that phrase is equally true. for lack of wood, the fire goes out. Our fire for the Lord Jesus Christ goes out when we stop putting wood on the fire. Brother and sister, the disciplines, prayer, worship, Bible study, corporate gatherings, all of these things are the wood for the fire that keeps us burning for Jesus. And when we lay these things aside, our fire goes out. And we can very easily go from cultivating a relationship with God to falling into the rut and the habit of merely going through the routines and motions of religion all over again. And we need to guard our heart from that. We need to guard our heart and be sure of our motive. We need to practice the disciplines of Christianity, of worship, meditating the Scripture, prayer, drawing near to the Lord, just silent contemplation in the presence of the Lord, being still to know that He's God. We need to practice these things, but we also need, listen, we also need to put a little fuel on the fire. A little, how many of you know a fire will burn pretty bright if you dump a little oil on it? And what you and I need to do is we need to put a little oil of the Holy Spirit on the fire of our relationship with Jesus Christ and be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Letting God continually fill our lives with the Holy Spirit, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly surrendering our lives to the leadership and control of the Holy Spirit. Well, look. Look at Galatians chapter 5. It tells us exactly in Galatians chapter 5 the fruit that will be produced from allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says this. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, or that which the Spirit will produce in you when you let Him have control of you, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All of these things overtake your life when you let the Holy Spirit have control, when you draw near to the Lord and you ask Him to fill you fresh continually with the Holy Spirit of God. All of these things are fuel for the fire of our relationship with Jesus. This is the fruit. We talked about last week, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Here's the fruit. Here's the fruit that Jesus wants to produce when we just hang out with Him. When like a branch, we just hang out with Jesus. Here's the fruit that He produces in our lives. Love and joy and peace and patience and all of these things. And brother and sister, I'm not talking about in some kind of mystical, mythological way. I'm talking about experiencing, knowing, realizing the joy of the Lord, even in the difficult situations and circumstances of our lives. This is key to cultivating that relationship with the Lord. So three things, and I'm about to wrap up. We need to develop a relationship with the Lord and cultivate that relationship. We need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then the third thing is back where we started this morning over in 1 Peter. And we'll just look at it again with you real quick. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 1. And here's what I want you to see about Peter in this passage of Scripture. Here's what Peter is doing, brother and sister, and it makes all the difference in his outlook on life. Peter has made the decision that he is going to focus on spiritual and eternal things, not temporary and natural material things. The Bible tells us over and over and over again, set your mind on things above where God sits, not on the things of this world. We need to be spiritually minded. You and I need to become eternally minded. You know, one of my great frustrations as a preacher is to hear people say, for example, we just had Mom's funeral a little over a week ago, and one of the great frustrations for me as a pastor is to hear people who profess to be Christians to make this statement, particularly at a funeral or a time in their own life. The statement they make is this: we're never going to see him again. Brother and sister, that is an absolute lie from the pit of hell. If they are a believer and you are a believer, you most certainly will see them again. Don't believe that lie that you'll never see them again. Get your mind off of natural things and start looking at eternal things. Look at spiritual things. Look at Jesus and believe what He's done for you. Believe what He's done for all of us. And focus on spiritual things. You can look at me and you can say, that poor old fellow, he's been crippled for 38 years. That would be true. But let me tell you something, I'm not going to be crippled for 38 more years. Because for that to happen, I'll be 99 years old and I ain't living that long. Maybe 30 more. Maybe 25. But I'm going to tell you something, I am going to be whole for eternity. And when we consider things from the eternal perspective, brother and sister, this life, and I know it seems like it's a long life, it's not really. It's not really. And the older you get, the more you realize how short life really is. You really do. You really do. But eternity, as long as this life is, it's not a drop in the bucket when you consider eternity. I could look at Mom and Dad and I can say, well, Dad's been dead for 7 years. Mom's been gone for a week and a half. Or I can say, you know what? I'm 7 years closer to seeing Dad again. I'm a week and a half closer to seeing Mom again. And then we're going to spend eternity together. And maybe we're separate for 20, 30, 40 years or whatever. So what? When you compare that to eternity. Brother and sister, we must be eternally minded as believers in the Lord. Because when we focus on spiritual things, we used to sing the little chorus years ago. Turn your heart upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And when you realize that eternity awaits us, and we're going to live forever with God, and when we put things in their proper perspective, this life, let me tell you something. We make a big deal out of a lot of stuff in this life that I really believe we're probably going to laugh about for all eternity. I can't believe I spent so much time so upset over that little nothing that didn't last. It only lasted 50 years. But now I'm with Christ forever. 50 years, what's that? It's nothing. It's nothing. When we see life for what it really is. Not from the cradle to the grave. But from conception to eternity and beyond. That's life, brother and sister. That's life. And the few years that we pass through this, what we call life, it's nothing in comparison. That's why Paul says this. Let me read it real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll close with this. We need to draw near to the Lord. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be eternally minded as children of God. 2 Corinthians, and I said chapter 5, I want to look at chapter 4, the end of that chapter. And verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, how many of you know your outer man's decaying? The older you get, the more you realize that too. The outer man is decaying, but watch this. The inner man is renewed day by day. Every day is a brand new beginning for the inner man, the spiritual man, the eternal man. And every day is a new day, and it goes on forever. Forever. And so he says, our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's why he could say in verse 17, and again, understand what Paul went through as a believer. The persecution, the sufferings, the beatings, the cruelty, the mistreatment, all of the things that he went through, all the things that we would think, my God, how can a man go through all that kind of stuff? Look how he refers to it, verse 17. Momentary light affliction. Are you kidding me? He calls all that stuff momentary light affliction. Why does he do that? Because he compares it to eternity and realizes it's nothing. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. What you're going through today is temporary. Your pain and suffering, I don't care how long it lasts, it's still temporary. It's temporary. It's not eternal. But the things of the Lord, the spiritual things, the things that are not seen, they are eternal. And so when we compare the two, brother and sister, we can realize what we're going through, no big deal. God's got it. And one day it's all going to be over. And there's going to be a new life beyond this. And so we can rejoice because of the greater life, the eternal life that awaits us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him. Do you believe in Him, church? Do you believe in Jesus? Because you believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Father, we thank You for the joy of the Lord that is our strength every day and that is ours by the result of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. As a source of strength that we can draw from every day, so that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter the test or trial, no matter what the loss, no matter what we're dealing with, God, Your grace is greater. Your strength is mightier. It is only temporary for the moment. It's momentary light affliction. And it will pass. An eternity with You is our lot and inheritance through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, in You we rejoice. To You we give thanks, and we give praise, and we glorify Your name for all that You are and all that You do for us as Your children today. Thank You, Father, that as we continue to draw near, as we continue to allow Your Holy Spirit to have control in this life, and as we continue to set our mind on the life that awaits us, the eternity with You, we thank You for the peace, comfort, the hope, the love, and the joy that we can experience all the days of our life. We give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Let's consider our ways today, church. The choice of these things is ours. God won't make us do what we need to do. You know, a lot of times we're waiting on God to do something in our lives, when the reality of the fact is God's waiting on us to demonstrate some faith so that He can do something in our lives. As a normal way of dealing with us, God doesn't just sovereignly do things in our lives. By faith, His ways are revealed and manifest in us and to us. That's why He said time and time again, your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. Be it done to you according to your faith. And your faith, brother and sister, will produce in your heart and in your life a willingness, a desire to step out and do something for God and draw near to the Lord. As we draw near, as we commune with God, as we fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord, as we study the Scripture, as we pray, as we give thanks, as we worship, as we surrender, as we focus on spiritual, all of this is our choice. God gives us a book filled with instructions of what we need to do to get things right. But then He says, the choice is yours. What will you choose? What will you choose? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says this, choose life by loving God. Choose life by loving God. My prayer for you and for myself today is that every day of our lives we'll make that choice new and fresh and continually. We're going to love God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what happens, we're going to love God. And trust that in and through and by Him, everything else is going to find its place and work out the way it ought to. Are we going to let go? We're going to let go and experience the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Father. So, Father, I commit this congregation to You this morning. And I pray that the message that was shared with them today, Father, what You've spoken to our hearts today would stick. And we would hunger and thirst for You and long for You and pursue You with all of our heart. And know through the reality of a relationship with Jesus, the full experience of all that You are, not only in the world to come, but in this world as well. May my brothers and sisters here today know the peace, the joy, the gladness of their salvation and the presence of the Lord in their life. Thank You for that, Father. Make it so for Your glory. So, Father, I believe I've done what You put in my heart to do for this day. I trust now, Lord, You'll do what You can do in and through each one of us for Your glory. Thank You, God. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. I want to ask you to please continue to remember Chris in these days, in this season of her life. If others of you also have difficulties that you're going through and we can pray with you, remember one of the things we need to do is draw near together. To be there for one another. To comfort one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We comfort each other with the comfort we've received from God. Let's be there for each other, guys. Let's step up. Let's love each other through whatever we're going through. Let's help each other find the peace and joy of the Lord. We can pray with you about anything before you leave here today. Come to the front as I speak to folks as they leave, then we'll minister to you after others have gone today. Let's sing together, though, as we're dismissed this morning. And we thank you for your time and attention together today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great week in the Lord and get ready for next weekend, Saturday and Sunday.